was sent to us by Brother Williams. Thank you for that bit of humor, Brother Williams. I can tell you where I was when you sent me that joke. I was coming out of Arlington Hospital and just come out the front door. I was going around the corner. The phone went off. I looked at it and I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud. So Galatians chapter 3 this evening. We're in the book of Galatians. We're in the third chapter. Next week, I believe, if the Lord will give me liberty, it'd be the first Sunday of the month. We're going to take a break for 1 week from Galatians and look at a Lord's Supper passage next Sunday evening. Again, if the Lord will give me liberty on that. We're looking at Abraham. We're going to start out at verse 1 of chapter 3 and read through verse 9. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And then in verses 6 through 9, which is what we're going to consider this evening, God has Paul refer to Abraham. And we're going to answer the question this evening, why Abraham? Why not Daniel or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Moses? Why Abraham? Why is that focus? But the focus is, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing, I lost my place. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, we read that passage this morning, Galatians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And most people would look at that on its face and say, well, that's talking about physical blessing. You do right by Israel and you'll be physically, financially blessed. But the blessing is salvation. Pretty clear. That's what Paul's preaching. Unless you don't believe Galatians is part of the inspired canon, the Scripture, what was the Scripture? Foreseeing, the Old Testament folks, seeing that Christ is going to die, seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. And we talked, what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That gospel was preached to who? To Abraham. By whom? The preacher. Bible doesn't credit the man who preached the gospel to him. That gospel was preached. He believed it, and he wrote that. The phrase was written of him in Genesis chapter 12, and thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Father, speak to our hearts this evening as we look at a very important concept of Scripture that is twisted in so many ways, realizing the Old Testament folks were saved the same way we are, just looking in a different direction, foreseeing. They saw happening in the future that you were going to die on Calvary's cross, that death of the testator that we spoke of this morning, and that you were going to pay the penalty for sin. And they needed to put their faith and trust in what you were going to do. Here we are in 2024, and there are people that I will talk to this week, that our folks will talk to this week, that just struggle with what is fact in the past as part of history. But we do not. May we embrace our faith and enjoy the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And we'll praise you for what you do tonight as we look to you and look to your word, and we look at this passage in Galatians specifically, praying that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Abraham is referred to 311 times in the Scripture, 237 times in the Old Testament, 74 times in the New Testament, 9 times in the book of Galatians. Abraham, Abraham, Abraham talked of 9 different things. He was referred to as faithful Abraham, as believing Abraham, and he is without question a man of faith. A man of faith. He could not be saved by keeping the law. There are folks running around that say that the Old Testament folks were saved by keeping the law. That's a problem for Abraham, because Abraham lived 400 years before the law was given. That could be a problem, if that's what you believe. Let's keep our finger here in Galatians chapter 3. Travel with me to Romans chapter 4. This is not an isolated message. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Again, it should be no surprise, because 274 times in the New Testament, here it is in Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Why is that if there? Because he was not justified by works. He was justified by grace through faith, foreseeing that Christ was going to die on the cross. For what saith the Scripture? That's always a good place to go. Verse 3 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And what does God give us as an example of a man of faith who trusted in Christ? Abraham. Christ had not died yet. The law had not been given yet. But Abraham, having the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, preached unto him, believed God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verses 8 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Abraham is not the only man, but he is the one that is focused on because of his unique status as a believer in God. Before the law, before circumcision, before baptism, before anything, Abraham just believed God. We're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're in the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of what? Of the same promise. For he looked for a city, heaven, which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says, "And he believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness." John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Justified. And we know the catchphrases that go along with that. Just as if I had never sinned. But what does that mean? That means we are guilty, yet uncondemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Justified is not merely escaping condemnation. Justification, being justified, is being free from the guilt while deserving punishment. The last two Sunday mornings, we have talked about legal stuff, legal papers, birth certificates. We've talked about law, we've talked about adoption, we've talked about passports, all legal documents, legal things that are argued in a court of law. Justification and this concept is not just found in God's Word. Justification for sin and through Christ is found in God's Word. But we have in our country, America, today, in our courts, we enjoy this concept in a very real and tangible way. As Christians, we enjoy this. The world looks at you and says, "Well, this is a crazy belief." But it is not a crazy belief. It is literally in the papers every day. And you can go home this evening and you can do your own little bit of research. And you could sit for hours and hours and hours just citing court case history and historical events that document that a person was in court. The jury and judge heard the evidence. They believed that based on the evidence, that person was guilty. But they returned a verdict of not guilty. Wait a minute, you just said they did the crime. Yep. But the jury found them not guilty. Yeah, justified. Free from the guilt, deserving the punishment, but not being punished. Justification is a wonderful Bible concept. So justification, in talking about that, going back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, God calls them foolish and bewitched because this legal concept that had been around for a long time had been ignored. And he rebukes them. He said, "Listen, you preached this. You were saved by grace, but now you're going to add a works basis to it? It just doesn't make sense. The Old Testament men were saved by grace through faith. So why not? Why not Daniel? Why not Ezekiel? Why not Joshua? Why not Moses?" Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis, book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Bible speaking of Abraham, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Look at chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 17, verse 9. "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant." It was not the covenant. It was a token. It was a sign. People say, well, the Old Testament people were saved by circumcision. Listen, Abraham believed way before this. He was 75 when we last saw him. How old is he in chapter 18? Look at verse 24 of chapter 17. Abraham was how old? 90 years old and nine. He was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. Why is that important? Because he believed God a long time before that. And he had salvation a long time before that. That was the token. We get baptized in the New Testament. It does not confer salvation. It is a token. It is a sign. It is a symbol that we have trusted Christ. In outward expression, pointing to an inward position that displays the attitude of the heart. Baptism and circumcision do not confer anything. But there are churches that teach the Old Testament people were saved by circumcision. The New Testament people are saved by baptism. They are tokens. It is not biblical. Abraham was not saved by that. He was saved by grace through faith in Christ. And we are saved the same way. He believed God before Isaac. He believed God before the promise was fulfilled. Again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, and the scripture, your Bible, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, Abraham believed that. So you are not saved by your goodness or by your works. You are saved by grace and faith through Jesus Christ. And as a result of your faith and trust in Christ, God, the judge, declares you righteous. You are guilty of sin, but he frees you from the debt. At salvation, God gives you a righteous standing. So it would not be difficult for you to follow me around on a daily basis and find something to convict me of. Speeding, rolling through a stop sign, getting a little irritable, and cantankerous, especially if you had a recording device in the car while I'm traveling by myself. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Now they can't hear me, but it makes me feel better to chat with them. But I am not going to heaven or hell based on my innocence or my perfectness. I have been justified by faith, just as Abraham was, in Christ. Abraham foresaw it, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify. He believed God before the law, before the prophets. I'm in 2024, I'm looking back to the cross, seeing that God did it, and to me, it just doesn't take a lot to process that. So I speak to people about salvation, and I say to them, these are the facts. And somebody said to me just recently, they said, facts, how so? Because of a book you call the Bible? I don't believe it. I said, you don't have to read the Bible. Read secular history. Talks about Jesus Christ, that he lived a life, that he did miracles, that he was crucified on the cross, and that there were people that saw him after he rose from the dead. Secular history documents that. And they look at you like, really? But I'm thankful that the judge, God, declared me righteous. Juries have the power to do that. Juries do in our legal system. It's called jury nullification. Now, judges do not like that concept. A judge does not like it when the jury realizes we have the power, even though he has done the crime, to issue a verdict of not guilty. We can justify that person in spite of the fact that... But judges don't like that. But here's the thing. Judges have that same power. And judges use that power to nullify, to justify. The judge has the power to do that. It was 2017. A judge was overseeing a case. The jury had the case back in the jury deliberation room. And I don't know what was going on back there because jury deliberations are private, but they sent a question out to the judge. Apparently somebody in the room said, I believe that even though they're guilty, we have the ability to say not guilty. It's called jury nullification, nullifying the evidence that is given. And so they said to the judge, is there a concept as known as jury nullification? And this is what the judge said in his instructions back to the jury. There is no legal concept known as jury nullification. And so the jury came back with a guilty verdict. The case was appealed. Based on that statement that the judge gave, it went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the judge, when he referred to the jury and said there is no such thing as jury nullification, was wrong. It's a concept that exists. The jury has that power. In a second case, Julian Heiklin of Tenet, New Jersey, it was the fall of 2010. He was standing out in front of the courthouse. And I don't know what was going on in his life, but he felt compelled to pass out information in front of the courthouse to the prospective jurors that were coming in about jury nullification. He took it upon himself to educate the jurors that they had the power to let somebody go, even though the evidence was against them. They had that power. Not that they should, but that is something that they could consider. And as a result of passing out those flyers, the court had him arrested and charged with jury tampering. I don't think the jury had been seated yet. But it went to the federal courts, and the federal judges dismissed the cases against him because what he was passing out was fact. The jury has the power to do that. What is that? That is justification applied. The Judaizers in Galatians chapter 3 were proud of their physical descent, but being a physical descendant of Abraham does not confer to you salvation. Telling the Jewish people that is difficult because they believe that they're going to heaven based on their physical connection to Abraham. But I bring to your mind a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. God's word says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And while there is no difference between the physical Jew and the Greek, there is a big difference between being Abraham's physical seed and of Abraham's spiritual seed. And so they said to Jesus Christ, we be Abraham, we be not born of fornication. And what were they saying? They were calling into question and saying to Christ, you are a illegitimate child of a immoral union between Joseph and Mary. That's pretty in your face. That's what they were saying. And so today we have, you go knocking on doors, and those of you that were knocking on doors yesterday, Mrs. Bishop and I, well, I heard this, Mrs. Bishop, Timothy and I heard this yesterday. We were out knocking on doors together. And I be Jew, I be Catholic, I be Baptist, I be, how you know you're going to heaven, I be something. The Jewish people, we be Abraham's seed. That doesn't count. Abraham was justified by grace through faith in Christ, foreseeing that God was going to redeem the world. So Christ basically told them, talk is cheap. If you were of Abraham's seed spiritually, you would be different, but you are not. If you were spiritually minded, you would embrace the Christ, but you have not. Instead, ye sought to kill him. That's John chapter 8, verse 39. We read Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Let's read through verse 10. Romans chapter 4, starting again at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertaining to the flesh has found? What has Abraham found? For if Abraham were justified by works, and he was not, he hath whereof the glory, but he does not. But not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Justification. Guilty. As charged, but free from the condemnation. Found guilty in a court, but allowed to leave by the jury or the judge. In this case, God being the judge. His faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Now, this is just real bad news for those that preach the opposite. The Bible just very clearly says, not in uncircumcision, not when he was 99, but in uncircumcision. And he received what? The token. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. I observed nullification firsthand. When I was a police officer, I've shared this with you before. I was in court. It was December 7th. And there was a man who was, I believe it was a speeding charge. I can't remember, but he came before the judge, and it was, I'm not going to tell you the judge's name. It's here in my nose. He went before the judge. The judge was kind of it was traffic court, you know, so he tried to lighten up the day a little bit. But it was December 7th. The guy was driving a Japanese car. And you know anything about December 7th, you know that's when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And so the judge said, what happened? I said, you know, we're driving a 1992 Honda, and I got him and pulled him over, gave him a ticket, and here he is today. It's just pretty cut and dried case. And the guy said, Your Honor, I have something to say. And the judge said, you're driving a Japanese car? This is December 7th. I sentence you to hang in the courthouse lawn until you are dead. And the whole courtroom, the first row, all police officers, they all laughed because it's the judge, and he's just kind of a little bit of a jokester in that. Now, he did not sentence a guy to hang for the traffic offense, but that's what he said.
And the guy said, but Your Honor, it's $35 fine, go play the clerk. So the guy's going, but, and he's out of the courtroom. He appeals the case. It goes up to the circuit court. Circuit court is a court of record. And the guy stands before the court, and he raises the right hand. You swear to tell the truth, not but truth, not only the law. I do. And the judge looked at me and said, officer, tell me what happened. Said, such, is here a badge of authority. A car came through, identified the driver, issued him a ticket, and here we are today. Again, cut and dried case. And nothing, the guy wasn't mean, wasn't mad, didn't throw anything, didn't try to kill me. It was just a normal traffic case. And the guy said, Your Honor, I believe I'm guilty. And the only reason I appealed the case is because the judge sent me to hang on Pearl Harbor Day because I was driving a Japanese-made car. And the judge's smile disappeared. And he looked at me. I didn't do it. And he said, approach the bench. That is never a good thing. And he took his hand and he put the microphone away and he leaned forward and he said, called Judd by name, did he really say that? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, I believe based on the evidence that you have given that he is absolutely guilty. But I'm going to let him go. Are you okay with that? Yes, sir. Step back. I find you not guilty. Why could he do that? Because under law, he had the power. The jury has the power. The judge has that power. Judges don't like for juries to know they have that power. Juries don't often embrace that power. November 24, 2015, Mecosta County, Michigan. Keith Wood was out front of the courthouse and he was passing out flyers to the jury. Again, another case where a guy was passing out flyers telling the jury that they had power to find somebody not guilty even if they were. Juries don't know that. Judges don't tell them that. Because judges don't want them to know that. The court had him arrested. They charged him with obstruction of justice, a misdemeanor, and felony jury tampering. The case went to the Michigan Supreme Court. And the Michigan Supreme Court overturned Wood's conviction. Why did they do that? Because they had the power to do so. God, the judge, he justified me. Not because I'm perfect. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm brilliant. Not because I'm a wonderful Christian. Because I put my faith and trust in him. And he has justified me. I stand before the court guilty of sin, but found not guilty by the judge by reason of the fact that I have placed my faith and trust in him. God has the legal power to do so. Our courts today embrace that power. Judges routinely use that power. Juries occasionally exercise that power. And God says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. The judge is speaking. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. To whom is that extended? Well, we've talked about that. To everybody. God has never been willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The promise of salvation was extended to the Gentiles. In Galatians, certainly. In Acts 17, absolutely. In Genesis chapter 12, without a doubt.
We're going to look at three scriptures. The first one is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Where is that found? In the Bible. And God justifies the heathen through what? Through faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. How far reaching is that? Documented three times in the book of Revelation by itself. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. The judge, you're able to do that. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. Who hath been redeemed? According to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Out of every kindred, of every tongue, and people, and nation. God just saved the Jewish people? No. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 was way before the Jewish people. Nation of Israel didn't exist. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that no man could number of what? Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And how were they clothed? They were clothed with robes, with white robes, and palms in their hands. Why? They were justified. Who was? All nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues. Everyone. Look at me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. To do what? To preach unto them that dwell on the earth. To whom were they going to preach? To every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. That's good advice. That's good advice. All those who have exercised faith of every nation, every tongue, every kindred, are blessed with faithful Abraham. This fact, pointed out in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the way through the book of Revelation. Juries have the power. Judges have the power. Presidents have the power. It's called the power of pardon. 1868, all the former Confederate soldiers received a presidential pardon. But there was one general, a northern general, by the name of Fitz John Porter. He fought for the next 18 years. He was the general who was in charge of the northern troops and suffered a devastating loss for the North in the Second Battle of Bull Run in 1862. They blamed him for the North's defeat. He was following the orders that were given to him, but they tried him in court and they found him guilty. He was court-martialed and he was summarily dismissed from the army after a very public trial. In 1879, they reviewed the evidence and they found that Porter, who had been found guilty, was actually innocent. But the court had already ruled. He'd already been dismissed from the military. He was innocent. And as a matter of fact, that his actions on the battlefield on that day saved countless lives. As a result of that 1879 official review, 3 years later, 1882, President Chester A. Arthur commuted his sentence and restored him to the military. But he's still been found guilty. In 1886, 18 years later, President Grover Cleveland gave him a full pardon. How could he do that? He had the power. Presidents had the power. Judges had the power. Juries had the power. God absolutely has the power. Have you availed yourself to God's power to pardon, to nullify, to justify? It is legal. You would do well to seek his pardon by grace through faith. Why Abraham, not Isaac, not Daniel or Ezekiel or Jeremiah? Because Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before circumcision. Abraham was before all of that. They are good examples of people who trusted God by faith, but Abraham is the ultimate example. Because Abraham just believed God's promise that God was going to send his son to die on the cross for sin. And Abraham believed God. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Have you experienced justification? Have you exercised that faith? You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have never exercised that faith. Tonight, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Slip your hand up and hold it up for just a moment. Salvation is an Old Testament gift. Salvation is a New Testament gift. After you've experienced the blessing, you should not fail to live in the power of the cross, Christian. Let's stand to our feet, their head bowed and eyes closed, the altar open. If you are not living in victory, in the power of the cross, living still under the bondage of sin, man, the altar is a great place to get rid of that weight.